Hello and welcome to this episode of the podcast produced by the Northern Region of the University and College Union. My name's John Bryan, and in this episode, I'm having an in-depth conversation with Sol Gamsu. Sol is the branch president of Durham University UCU, and he's had quite an eventful year in his first year of his presidential term. Now, the start of the academic year, autumn 2021, saw two industrial action ballots take place at the university. Now, they were both national ballots. One was on USS pensions, which are under attack, and the other was on the Four Fights campaign in higher education. Now, listeners will probably know that in order to take industrial action, you need to have more than 50% of your membership voting in those industrial action ballots. And on both occasions, the branch smashed it, getting over 60% turnout. And they took industrial action, strike action, in December 2021. Now, the branch re-balloted and again had already increased their membership and again smashed the 50% threshold that was needed, again getting over 60% when they were re-balloting in April 2022. So I wanted to speak to Sol about how it is that he thinks that the branch has managed to do that, one of the only branches that managed to do that on two occasions in the Northern Region. I spoke to Sol and we had a conversation about what they've done and about the issues that the branch have faced over the last 12 months and what their plans are for the next coming year. Hope you enjoy this episode. Okay, we're joined on the podcast by Sol Gamsu, who is the president of Durham University UCU. Welcome to the podcast, Sol. Good to have you here.
Great to be here, John. And I think it's a really good initiative, and it's been nice to be able to hear voices from across the Northern Region and to get a bit of insight in what's going on across different branches, FE and HE. And I know, in fact, from one of your podcasts with members in Furness College, that out of that came a donation from our branch to their branch for their strike fund.
And I know that was very well received. So thanks, Sol. Thanks all of your members for making that donation. It's very good, obviously, because Durham University branch is a big branch of UCU in the region, one of the biggest. And I mean, you've been president for the last 12 months, and in that there's been a lot of strike action, a lot of things going on. And I just wanted to talk to you really about how you've kind of been building the branch and the sorts of things that you've been doing, because twice now the branch have kind of got over the 50% threshold that's needed to take industrial action under the Trade Union Act. You know, you did that in autumn of 2021 and again in spring 2022. So could you just talk about what you've done and the sorts of things that have been successful in kind of building membership and, you know, building the capacity, getting more activists involved?
Yeah. So, I mean, I suppose the first place to start is that I think when I became branch president, I'm always conscious, I think, of the work that has gone into the branch over a long period of time by a group of people who have been extremely dedicated. And you know, it's been the same people that have kept the branch going for a long period. And I think what we've been able to sustain over the last year and prior to that is some of the momentum that was built up in some HE branches following on from the 2018 dispute over pensions. And I think that has been the key thing for me from a sort of strategic and political point of view, has been to think about how we sustain that momentum that has built up and also expand that and push that out beyond beyond the USS, beyond the pre-92 institutions that were involved in that dispute and subsequent disputes over the USS. Because strategically and politically, the momentum that was created there is extremely important. How have we done that at Durham? I think I've mentioned the fact that there was a strong basis, and Sarah Elton and Francis Pritchard, Marek Sablowski, and several other long-serving members provided a really strong basis and continue. And John Warren, of course, who's still our branch vice president, they've really provided a strong basis and a lot of expertise that has been built up over the years. What have we done that's been different this time? I think what we have done is taken a really proactive approach to running a reballot. You know, that happened during the first term when people were still, although teaching was back on campus, people were still not present as much. That has involved actively contacting people, very actively contacting people, so regular emails, but also individual contacting people. And we've used the central through text, but we've also done our own texting and some phone banking as well. And it's been quite systematic. And there's great credit due here to Chris Morris, who's been our membership secretary over the last year, who was key to managing our data. And he actually, his work meant that we had a rolling number of daily votes that we got. So we knew how many people had confirmed to us that they had voted. And in some cases, we also had a sort of intending to vote category. And that meant that by the time the ballot window closed at the end of the first ballot, we were pretty sure we had about 53% of our members voting. And actually what happened is we smashed that, and we had at that point about, I think we had, I can't remember if it was 61 or 60, I think it was 63% turnout on the first ballot. So we actually did better than we thought we had. And in the second, and I'll say a bit more about how we did the second ballot. I mean, I think the only other key thing that I need to say about the first ballot is that what we built and what was key, and what I think is absolutely key in the higher education sector and in FE2, but I think it's where you have any big educational institution, you need department level reps, because the unit of the size of the unit of a large membership is too much unless you break it down. And having active departmental reps was really key. And we met quite regularly in that first ballot to check in with them, to sort of go through what we were wanting, what they needed to do. Those meetings were open, so where you had other people who wanted to do something, they could come along and get involved and volunteer for different tasks. So that was sort of how we went about the first one, and I'll perhaps say a bit more about our data management in the second one, in a minute.
That's really helpful. And I suppose you mentioned a few words consistently there. So, you know, you talked about getting momentum, you know, from previous disputes and sustaining that. And then you also talked about making sure that people can see that it's paying off, what people are doing is paying off. So that kind of rolling number of people who have voted, you know, trying to make sure that you hit that 50%, you know, that must be, you know, something which kind of generates a lot of enthusiasm and maybe competition as well between people. Are there other things that you kind of did which kind of helped to kind of G people along? Because in a get the vote out campaign, it can be quite long and protracted. And, you know, I suppose it is good to kind of get that rolling number. Are there other things which you did to kind of keep that momentum up, you know, for a period of time?
I'm trying to remember. So much has happened this year. I mean, what else did we do? The other thing that we used to organise, which has been important, I think, in creating an additional space for the branch for members to communicate is we've got a branch Slack with different channels. So there's a department reps channel, there's an industrial action channel.
Can you just say a bit more about what Slack is? Because there are some people listening in who are thinking,
sure,
what does that mean?
Slack is, I mean, it's a social media platform, but it's used specifically to kind of organize and to run organizations, really. And the advantage that it has, I think, over email, say, for example, so we've got a committee, Slack, the advantage it has over email is that it's, you don't have to, it's not as difficult to, when you have a long thread of emails that people have replied to, it can be quite difficult to follow and keep track of, whereas it's a bit easier to manage that on Slack. People can comment beneath things and search it a bit more easily. So it's an easier, the sort of interface is a bit more easy to manage in certain ways. But what it also does, so we've got a committee Slack channel, which is just for committee members. And then we've got other channels that are open to all members. And it just gives another platform for people to use. And not everyone uses it, but, you know, we've got several hundred of our members are on there, not all active necessarily. And it goes through times of being more and less active, depending on what's going on. But that was used to sort of give regular updates to people that were active in the Get the Vote Out campaign. And we had a sort of a bit of a timetable, particularly for the first one, and we've also organized a lot through sort of Google Docs and shared documents that people can add to and check what tasks need to be done, and see sort of where we are on the timeline. And we also had, in that first re-ballot, we had sort of regular tolls of regular counts of how many votes we had confirmed for each department. So we were working quite systematically to do that, and it actually became even more systematized in the second re-ballot.
So, I mean, you were the only HE institution in the first round which got through the threshold, you know, at 50%, and I think you offered support to others to kind of get through in the second round, which was very good. It meant that we had more institutions, you know, coming on board, which was obviously much better in terms of, you know, strike action having an impact. But then you had to re-ballot again in the spring, because, you know, the Trade Union Act says that it only lasts for 6 months, and obviously if we're going to do more action going into the summer, then you need to kind of do that re-ballot. And how difficult was that? Because clearly you had to kind of repeat the whole thing again, and it's difficult to kind of sustain that over a long period of time. But you managed it and you got through again, which was absolutely brilliant. I mean, is there anything that you can kind of, you know, point to, which, I mean, did you just do the same things again, or was there something different about it, or were there other things that you kind of latched onto to kind of get members involved?
I think really that in a lot of ways, Get the Vote Out is not separate. You can't separate it from how you run the rest of the branch. And one thing that we've been, and I personally, but I think other members of committee, other officers and departmental reps have been very keen on, is to have a much more open and democratic branch structure. So having more regular general meetings, using Zoom to do that, and being able to sustain action over and sustain discussion and participation and engagement over that quite long period of where you had strike action, you had quite, you know, some difficult issues around the timing of that strike action. At Durham, we were asked to the strike dates fell on dates that were outside of term time, which some people were quite frustrated about, but which actually I think led to quite an important conversation about the different effect of strike action on PSS and academic staff, and the need to sort of acknowledge that, particularly for our PSS members, actually whether something's in term time or not is not always so important, and needing to acknowledge that. But what we did effectively was keep up engagement. We kept up quite an open discussion and debate over the way that the dispute was being led, which also I think meant that, I hope, the strike has been a learning opportunity for a lot of our members into how the union works, how it doesn't work sometimes, the politics of industrial action, the politics of decision making within the union, the need for us and for members to really take an active role in pushing certain policies, certain forms of action, and we did that. You know, our vice president came, the vice president Justine Mercer came down to our pickets and heard very clearly that what members wanted to do was a marking boycott. That was very much the way that we campaigned for the second ballot, because politically that was what we thought needed to happen. We needed a marking boycott, and we thought that would be an effective way to win concessions and to force management to negotiate. So that was sort of the political pitch, if you like, that we made to members going into that reballot. I'll move on, and I can say a bit about how we organised that reballot. But I don't know if you wanted to follow up on any of what I said before.
Yeah, I think it'd be good for you to talk about the reballot. I mean, one of the other things that has kind of always struck me about the branches is that, you know, the way that you've organised picket lines has been very successful. They've been very good picket lines. They've kind of had a lot of energy. You know, you've managed to get people down there, you know, visiting the picket lines from different trade unions, different progressive organisations. You know, so I know you've had MPs come down. You've had Laura Pidcock from the People's Assembly has come down. You had someone from the Green Party, I remember, at one of the, you know, kind of rallies that we organised, as well as, you know, the RMT were down as well in December.
Yeah.
You know, to speak at the rally that you had, you know, just after you'd finished picketing. And I just wondered if that had been helpful in kind of like galvanising people and giving people a sense of solidarity and trade union activism, and how you kind of incorporated that into the work that you've done in the branch.
Yeah, I think definitely. And one of the things that I said when I was elected last year, and that I've continued to sort of try to push, but it's not just me. There's lots of other members that are doing this sort of work and fostering, or I hope sort of fostering this way of thinking about the union and what it's there for, is that it is a platform for us to do things that reach out beyond the university. You know, a prime example of that has been the Hassock Field campaign which a lot of our members have been involved with. Hassock Field Detention Centre, which has just reopened. It's the site of historic abuse in County Durham. And it's now the site of a women's detention centre. And we passed a motion last academic year or earlier this academic year. I forget when exactly it was. But really emphasising, I think, that there is a wider politics that we're involved in and making our picket line the site for some of that, the discussion of that. And we've had great teach-outs. We also had Alan Marsden down to talk about the miners' strike, and as you mentioned, MPs, we have Mary Foy down as well, and really great support from her and other people that you've mentioned, and trying to, I think, create a bit of energy on the pickets, but also make people understand that the action that we're taking is wider in its implications and it's broader in the connections that it can have. And one of the things that we did really effectively in the strike action that fell, as I said, outside of term time, was we picketed the two open days that were going on during that week. And we had fantastic, it was a fantastic opportunity to sort of discuss with a lot of prospective students. Not in a, you know, not saying don't come to Durham or anything, quite the opposite, saying, you know, do come to Durham, but this is what is going on here. And what we'd also done over the year was connect and stand in solidarity with students that were protesting over the events that happened at South College this year, and linking up with those issues and those protests was very, very powerful, and bringing those issues to those picket lines that that fell during those open days was extremely powerful and very moving, actually. The speeches that we had from students, from staff, from minoritized members that have been particularly affected by the events that happened at South College, and also the aftermath of those events, was really powerful. So I think the broad approach to the picket lines is and to the branch is a political one. It's about making those spaces engaging and trying to engage members and engage the union as a political institution with a wider reach and one that's involved in wider struggles and movements.
And I think the, you know, I mean, it was very good with the weather is one of the things I remember about the open days, which I think took place kind of in the middle of March. I mean, you know,
it was nice not to be picketing in the snow and the freezing cold for a change, wasn't it?
Absolutely. You know, making snowmen on the picket lines is one thing, but having a barbecue and people in shorts and t-shirts a couple of months later is even better. And I think, you know, just after that, you know, after that kind of real big, you know, success that you had in terms of, you know, getting loads of people down there, loads of pickets, you know, and to leaflet, you know, students who were considering coming to Durham. And as you said, not about putting them off, but to speak to them about the issues that were involved in higher education. I mean, it was just around that time, I think, that people started re-balloting again, you know, and again, you managed to, you know, to beat that 50% threshold, which is all important these days to make sure that you can take strike action. So you kind of built from that and beat it again. Is there anything that you kind of want to tell people about how you kind of managed to do that? And because clearly people want to learn some lessons, because not everyone got across, you know, the second time, you know, yes, which obviously is one of those things, but it wasn't the case with you. You've managed to beat it the two times that you were asked to do so.
Yeah. So there's a few things here. There's having an engaged membership and keeping up that engagement, which is the real, like, every day, every week political work of organizing your branch so that people are engaged, so that members can participate, and so that where there's difficult decisions, you make them collectively, you make them democratically. So you've got that basis of engagement to build from. You need, and we still had those rep structures. There was also a lot of learning that went on that first ballot. This is how we're going to run ballots. That's going to involve more contacting of members, more direct contact of members, and members need to sort of learn to expect that. So there was a lot of learning that went on in that first ballot that we took into the second ballot. Now, what did we do differently? The key thing, and this again is great credit to the work of Chris Morris, who's been our membership secretary this last year, who designed a system, an online system for managing the Get the Vote Out. And that system, it's called GODRIC, or the General Organizing Database. And I can't remember what the RIC stands for. I'll try and find it. That system allowed us to, and allowed Chris to, manage our recording of how many votes we had much more effectively, and much more in a more automated way than we had done previously. So whereas previously we had an overall count and we had a bit of an idea of the count of the number of members in different departments, now we had a system which allowed people to check off themselves directly that they'd voted, because any member can sort of log on to this system, and then people who are department reps or who are officers or committee members that are actively involved in the Get the Vote Out, they can also check people off. And what you could also see, and again, this was sort of people that were actively involved or the department reps could see how many people, what percentage of people in each department had voted. And we had a running tally of those percentages. So you could kind of, you could do that sort of friendly competition, if you like, between different departments as to how many people had voted. And that, you know, really sort of has made our Get the Vote Out, the organizational structure for our Get the Vote Out is right up there. I think it's probably, you know, I do think it's probably one of the best in the country, if I'm honest. And, you know, that's, and I'd say that with great respect to places like Heriot Watt, who've been crossing the threshold regularly, and there's other branches too in that category that have systems that work very well. And I think, you know, Chris just built this system, which has been and remains incredibly useful. And you know, that system now has other functions. We held, you can do member votes through that system, and also sort of check, use the main membership database to sort of see who's joined and all these sorts of things. There's a lot that it offers, and that from an organizational point of view made things much smoother. And then we did the things that we've been doing, so regular emails, checking people off, so we were only emailing people that hadn't told us if they voted or not, and text messages and all the other sorts of things that we'd done before. And we ended up with, I think, a turnout of about just over 61%, but with a larger number of people, a larger membership number, because our membership had grown between the two ballots. So it was really an example, I think, of industrial action and a real emphasis on an engaged and participatory form of industrial action, and also management of the branch. I hope helped foster the basis, which meant that people joined, and we also maintained that momentum within the branch that led to us crossing the threshold that second time.
Well, thanks very much for that, Sol. And I think, you know, it's credit to yourself. I mean, you know, this is the first year of your, you know, presidential time at Durham University UCU. And obviously you've mentioned people by name who have kind of like been important in building stuff in the past and in doing stuff in the last 12 months as well. I suppose looking forward, you know, it's some of the things that are going to happen with UCU and the higher education sector kind of decided elsewhere, and obviously Durham University branch, along with other branches, input into that. Is there anything that you can kind of think of as a target, if you like, or some of the things that you're going to do over the next 12 months? Is that the sort of thing that the branch is thinking about at the moment, or is that something that you personally are thinking about? You know, what are your kind of plans, you know, for the branch in the coming period?
Yes, I mean, obviously we've got the sort of the ongoing disputes around USS and the four fights, which will continue. I mean, I think the other thing, we have a local agreement on the four fights, and we have a local joint statement on USS, which is the result of the threat of the marking boycott and then the negotiations which we had around that, which I won't go into in more detail here, unless you want me to. But I think what we, so, but those things will, you know, at a national level, they remain disputes that are not resolved. So there will be ongoing issues around that. And we were just discussing yesterday at our annual general meeting the issues around reballots and when they might fall and when industrial action might fall and so on. Priorities for the branch, I mean, I think that one of the things that I think has also been has been good is that we've had the myself and a group of other people, a small group of people, who many of whom have been department reps or members or committee members or taken on officer roles. In 2021, we did the organizing for power training, and credit to UCU national level for putting that training on, because it has been quite valuable and has been important in thinking about and helping people think about how we organize. But we had another I kind of made sure that we had another cohort of people, and actually staff and students doing the course. And some of those people that have done that course, or possibly still doing that course, that it started in May, are now on committee. And one of the constant bits of work that you have to do, I think, is to continue building capacity for the branch, continue building the engagement and the capacity of the branch to expand, really, and to continue to take action. So that's always going to be a priority. The other things that I think we're thinking about and that I'm thinking about are around, there's issues locally around college porters and cuts to their pay and conditions. And we've been working quite closely with GMB and Unison around that. I think as a general structural issue for our sector, one of the things that we do need to think about, and this is something which I think goes beyond Durham and probably beyond my individual term as branch president, is that we need to take industrial action together. And that does mean a serious and honest conversation about whether or not we are better off in one union rather than three or four. And over the long term, I think that is a conversation that we need to have. Thinking a bit more short term, over the next year, we'll be doing work with Solidarity, with GMB and Unison around that. There's also the ongoing issue of outsourcing, which Durham has less outsourcing than some institutions, but still the security guards are on mighty contracts. Two new colleges and their accommodation, the sort of cleaning services that are provided in those accommodations are outsourced, and we need those staff brought back in-house. And on good terms and conditions. The other thing that I should have mentioned throughout this is that we've tried really hard to build good, constructive relationships with our students' union. And we've been lucky to have had a really constructive relationship with them and a positive relationship with them. And they've been very supportive throughout the industrial action, which I know isn't the case in every branch, but we've had regular meetings with them, regular monthly meetings. That's something which I'm going to try and which will be continuing. We've also sort of had regular meetings with the other campus trade unions as well, and we'll be sustaining that. And one of the things, you know, I think is trying to illustrate and show to students that the long-term structural solutions to the problems that they face can only be resolved through active solidarity between staff unions and student unions. The solutions that senior management can offer, and that the government, well, they're not offering any solutions at the moment, but they're not going to do the business. What needs to happen is for UCU and students' unions and the NUS and other campus trade unions to work very closely together. And I think the best way to do that is through active displays of solidarity. It's things like joining students when they're protesting about South College's big incident that happened this year at Durham. Which involved the invitation of Rod Liddell, but also things that we've been thinking about and I've personally been thinking about, and I'm keen to sort of try and foster and encourage, and we discussed this yesterday at the annual general meeting, is whether we can do things, for example, around student housing co-ops. You know, and that has to be student-led. It has to be led by students' union or student groups that want to start a student housing co-op. But it's also something that the UCU, if that's what students want to do, UCU could support them. And you know, we do have some financial resources that we could put behind that sort of thing. And doing that work, that actually illustrates to people, A, that even within the current system of higher education, you can do things that are more progressive. You can do things that have alternatives, that create alternative spaces and structures, and are crucially providing more affordable housing solutions for working class, ethnic minority, disabled students, anyone who has a financial need because of their circumstances. We can do things about that tangibly and realistically. We can do that, and we can do that even within this neoliberal system. And I think there's something quite powerful, or there would be something quite powerful, about trades unions, campus trades unions, supporting student organizing to create student housing co-ops as a solution to the cost of living crisis, and as a solution to the fact that neither private landlords nor hedge fund owned private purpose-built student accommodation nor university accommodation are really going to solve the problems for students. And the same goes for our sector. The only people that can solve the problems that we face, the crises that we face, all these structural contradictions that have built up over the last 40 years of neoliberalism, and the inequalities that predate neoliberalism along lines of class, along lines of race and gender within higher education and disability, the only people that can solve those problems is us. And that is a difficult message, because it highlights to people that these situations that we face are very structural. You know, the erosion of democracy within our institutions is something that has gone on over a long period of time. But there is no shortcut, and there is no alternative to building the sort of trades union power that is able to push back against those changes. There's no shortcut, and there's no alternative. We have to do that work. Our members have to do that work. Students have to do that work. No one's going to do that for us, and we can't rely on anyone else. It's us. Certainly at the moment, I'm not sure whether we can rely on the Labour Party to provide much support, which may not always be the case, but it seems to be the case at the moment.
Well, Sol, thank you very much for coming onto the podcast and talking about all of the kind of issues that you faced in your first year as branch president of Durham University UCU. Sol Gamsu, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, John. And thanks to your support, for your support in and the support of other people in regional over the year. It's also been really important.
Glad to be there.
Cheers, John.
Thanks for listening to this episode. We hope that you enjoyed its content. If you want to find out more about Durham University UCU, then please don't forget to follow them on Twitter at UCUATDurham. And you can also follow Sol on Twitter, and that's at Sol Gamsu. That's S for Sierra, OLGAMSU. And if you want to go to Durham University UCU website, you can do that too. www.durhamucu.org.uk. Thanks for listening, and please don't forget to like, favourite, subscribe and share this podcast so that more people get to find out what we are doing. Thanks for listening now.